You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Awesome. Hey, you know God knows all there is to know about Central Iowa, right? Did you know that? God knows all about Iowa. Did you know that God loves Central Iowa? Yeah, you knew that? He loves Iowa. Did you know that, you know, God doesn't show favoritism, right? Scripture says that God does not have favorites and yada, yada, yada. But I know that if somehow God's character were to change, that Iowa would be his favorite. Wouldn't it? Like, come on, right? Come on, right? Iowa would be his favorite. If God changed his character somehow, he would love Iowans more than anyone else on the planet. I am convinced of it. See, he doesn't show favoritism, but Iowans are my favorite part of his creations. Hallelujah. But God created every person that makes up Central Iowa. It's not an accident. God knows you. He knows our church. He knows your neighbors. He knows where you live. He's got your number. Amen. And so when God speaks to us or me about what he wants to do to change lives here in Des Moines and Central Iowa, I listen. Because when God spoke to me about Big November, I knew that if I listen, that if I respond, and that if I have faith, that God will bless you, our church, and our communities that we live in, because ultimately they're his communities, right? Like, it's his creation. We're just stewards of everything he's given. And I knew that if I respond and obey what God is calling us to do today, that God would bless me, you, and all of Central Iowa. So I'm excited about Big November. Big November is going to happen every year. That's better. There we go. Every single year. And it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every year. And for those who are new here and don't understand what I just said, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every single year. It's going to be big and it's going to be wild. And each year, I want your friends and your neighbors to wonder all through October, what is that crazy church going to do in Big November this year? I want the whole community to know about Big November. I want the whole community to anticipate and get excited about Big November. Does that sound good? Come on, I can't wait for your neighbors to start asking you, hey, Billy Ray, what's going to happen in Big November this year at your church? And you're going to say, I don't know, but get your butt to church because that's where I'm going to find out too, right? Come on, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16 in your Bibles. If you have a Bible at home, it would have been better if it was here. Maybe next week, just bring it here. Otherwise, if you are a phone Bible person, just open that up. It's good to have your Bible so that you can highlight, so that you can remember, so you can mark it in there, so that God can remind you of things he spoke to you about in the past. Amen? So bring your Bibles. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Turn to your neighbor and say, you, come on, you are the salt of the earth. It's not normally how you start a compliment, is it? You are a really nice person. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under your feet. You, come on, that's you and your neighbor right now, you, the person next to you. You are the light of the world. A town built up on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and throw it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, in the exact same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. I love that. Let your light shine that they may see your good deeds. Jesus is tying this shining light to good deeds. It's not me, it was Jesus. He said that your light shining is you doing good deeds. Let your light shine so that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. That is an amazing passage of scripture. People are going to see the good things that you do, and they're going to glorify God because of you. That's exciting, isn't it? See, we want to be the most generous church that Iowans have ever heard of. That's what we want. That's one of the values and one of the visions that we have for our church, so that when people hear the word generosity, they think eternity church. And when people hear the word eternity, they think generosity. So that when people meet you, when your neighbors find out that you go to eternity church, they're like, figures. That makes sense. Or when people experience your generosity, your kindness, or your good works, they just assume that you're a part of Eternity Church because you're so kind, because you're so generous. Amen. That's the kind of reputation that I want our church corporately and our church individually to have around our community. That's how the people of God should be recognized, by our kindness, by our compassion, by our grace, and our generosity. Amen. We should be recognized by our fruit. That's what we want to be. When people look up on that hill and they see our light shining so bright that it gives them hope. See, just driving past our church and seeing that big, bright, white sign, Eternity Church, that should fill their hearts with hope. Simply walking in the doors before the worship has begun, before the sermon has been preached, just walking in the doors should change their lives. Change their lives immediately. That living in the same street as you brings people a step closer to the goodness and the wonder and the glory of God, because you are light. This is what the scripture said. You are light. You are hope. You bring life because life lives in you. You bring hope because hope lives in you. You bring light because the light of the world lives in you. Amen. Sitting next to you on an aeroplane should be the greatest privilege that anyone will ever get. Amen. See, I don't care if I meet somebody from Japan and we're on an aeroplane in New York, I'm going to tell them about what Jesus is doing in Des Moines. Amen. And next time they're in New York, they're taking a detour via Des Moines. Because I don't care who you are or where you are, sitting next to me, you're going to get a dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to tell you all about Jesus. Serving you at a checkout should be an experience that changes their lives. Buying a fridge from you is a blessing. You're going to say to them, do you want the extended warranty? And they're going to say what every smart person who knows how to do math has ever said. Heck no. I don't want your stupid extended warranty on my fridge. But then on the way out the door, they're blessed because you're praying, Holy Ghost, protect that fridge. And now they got the extended Jesus warranty. Amen. Come on, getting served by you is a blessing. Sorry if you sell extended warranties. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. But I am a big believer that if it made sense, that the fact that they sell it means they make money from it. But anyway, eating dinner near you is an opportunity for a blessing, right? Come on, eating dinner near you means that I might get a free meal. Some of you are like, not next to me. Yeah, it's going to be after this sermon, right? Come on, eating dinner next to you just increased their chance of getting a free meal. Eating dinner next to somebody at Eternity Church just increased their chances of getting blessed in Jesus' name. When people look on the roster at their work, whether it be at McDonald's, excuse me, or whether it be at Best Buy, or whether it be at a car dealership, no matter where it is, when they look at their roster, do you say schedule? Roster? Schedule, come on now. When they look at your schedule and they see that they're working the same shift as you, they're excited. They're like, they make the shift better. They make my day better. Working with them is a joy, amen. Being served by you at Whole Foods should bring a smile to their face. Why? Because we are a city on a hill. Hallelujah. We are a city on a hill, and we are big, and we are bright, and we are loud about it, amen. Everything we do, we go big. We just go big. We go big or we going home, all right? Come on. We epitomize that saying, go big or go home. We're going to do it the best and the biggest that we can. We are bright. Our light is so bright. Come on now. Everybody's going to see it. It's going to touch everybody in Des Moines and Central Iowa, and we love loud. Amen. We're big, bright, and loud. What do I mean by we love loud? I mean, nothing you do is going to stop us from loving you. Nothing you do is going to get in the way of the grace and the mercy that's overflowing out of our hearts because Jesus put it there, amen? And so, like, we have people who have been to our church, and they've become a part of our church, and then they left. Like, what the heck? What are you doing, you know? Breaking my heart. But then they come back. Because you can't get enough of this place, can you, right? But then they left. It's just sad. Like, breaking my heart again. But then they come back. And we're like, welcome home. And then they left. But then they come back. Why? Because you can't get enough of this place, right? I'm serious. They've talked to me. They're dear friends of ours. We love them very much. And this was back when they were working things out. But they were like, we have left this church like 2 or 3 times. And every time we come back, y'all are like, we love you. Welcome to church. Welcome back. We love you. God bless you. What can we do to help you? Because we love loud. And we're going to love louder than any offense that may or may not come our way. Whether you leave us, even if you leave us and backstab us, we're going to love you because we love loud. We want to make the most of every opportunity. We don't want to miss any chance to do good and glorify the Lord. Amen. Check this out in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Hey, don't stop doing good. I do love that it says, if we do not give up. Don't give up. Never change who you are. Don't let the devil alter the character that God put in you. He designed you to be generous. Don't let the devil change who you are. Amen. Don't give up. Do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. I love that last line. I really do. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Church, we should be looking after each other. Come on. We got to look after each other. We got to bless each other. And you might be like, well, it's a bigger church. I don't know everybody. Hey, you don't need to know everybody, but you got to know somebody, right? We don't need everybody to know everybody, but we want you to know somebody, love somebody, care for somebody, and bless somebody in your church. Hallelujah, right? And you're like, well, who? Well, I don't know. Every single time that I look at certain places in this room, certain people sit in the same spot. Every single, Dwight and Bonnie, those are their seats. They'll tackle you if you sit in their seats. They'll mess you up if you sit in their seats, right? No, I'm just kidding. They wouldn't really. But certain people sit in the same kind of areas, and you get to know the people sitting around you. You get to know the people that you serve on dream teams with. You get to know the people in your connect group. There are people in the church that God is saying, especially look after and do good deeds for those people. Amen. But I'm not preaching about that today. I'm going to preach about that in a few weeks, all right? I got a great sermon series planned on that for early next year. You're going to flip and love it. It'll be wild. But what I want to talk to you today is about those 7 words. Let us do good to all people. Not just the people in our church. All people. To what people? All people. How many people? 6 people? 2 people? 8 people? All people as you get opportunity. Yeah, but which people? See, because we're humans. And everywhere you go in the world, we're categorizing people. We're putting people in boxes and we're trying to figure out which group they belong to. So who's the people that God wants us to be good to? Is it the white people? Is it the Asian people? Is it the black people? The Native American people? No, it's all the people, amen. All people. What type of people? Poor people? sick people, rich people. Come on, God is telling us to do good to all people. Hallelujah. Come on, yeah, praise the Lord. Never tire of doing good and you will be rewarded. See, God doesn't only love and bless poor people, sad people, or obviously broken people with their pain tattooed on their arms and then forget about everyone else. He loves them too, but he also loves you. Can I say something a little controversial here today? Yeah, is that all right? Can I say something that might make some people want to slap me for the first 3 minutes until I finish the sermon? Is that all right? Stop looking for people with needs. Stop looking for people with needs and start looking for people with breath. If they breathe, they're in the all people group. If they are alive, God wants to bless them. If they catch your attention, say something, do something, pray something, bless them. See, the problem with only looking for need is it gives us an excuse to do nothing. Well, what if I live in a really nice neighborhood and I drive a really nice car? Nothing wrong with that. That's fantastic. And I work in an office on the top floor, and on my drive there, I'm on the interstate, and I never even see a homeless person. My whole life is surrounded by people who aren't poor and don't have obvious needs in their lives, and so I don't have to do anything. It gives us an excuse to do nothing. It overlooks those who don't have obvious tattoos worn on their sleeves. Sorry, obvious needs worn on their sleeves. That sounds like I have a problem with tattoos. I don't. I have a couple. It's all right. Chill out. Relax. Simply looking for need locks out most of the population. Puts up a wall between your blessing and their experiencing God. Every person, by the way, has a need to know God. Every single person has a God-shaped hole in their heart. But if we start looking for people who are alive and look for opportunities to bless all the people that come across our paths and everybody that catches our attention, the people with needs, they're going to get blessed too. See, the richest person you know might be desperate to be noticed rather than simply labeled. Buying them a coffee or sending them a card in the mail or sneakily paying for their dinner shows them that somebody noticed them, that somebody loved them, that somebody celebrated them. Same goes for the poor. They don't only need their rent paid, and they might not even need their rent paid. Their most obvious need might not be a financial need, but your moment in their life might show them that they're noticed by God. And that might bring a mindset change that has a generational effect forever. Or it might just tell them that you love them. And that might be all they wanted that day. Somebody let them know that actually somebody sees me. I'm alive and somebody noticed. The Bible doesn't say to only do good to one group of people. Do good works for all men. Remember when Jesus came to town? The preacher, the rabbi, the teacher, Messiah, Son of God, visiting the town. And a woman poured expensive perfume on his feet. And there was one guy who was totally ticked off, absolutely mad that perfume that was worth so much money was poured on feet instead of sold and blessed the poor. That man who was mad, his name was Judas, the one who would later betray Jesus and had been stealing all along. That would be 1 year worth of wages for a poor family poured out on the feet. You know, you don't need to lower someone else to lift someone else up. You can just lift people up. Amen. You can bless, love, and care for all people and lift others up. But God does love the needy so, so, so much. And a church that ignores the needy does ignore God's heart. But he doesn't only love the needy. And so often in church, we've forgotten that God wants to tell all of us that he notices you, that he sees you, that he loves you. He loves the poor and the rich exactly the same. The middle class and the upper class, the lower class and the forgotten class, he loves them. What am I saying? I'm saying let's do good for everyone, for all people. Let's look for opportunities to bless people. And if we can't find an opportunity, let's make one. Let's make a unique an amazing way to remind somebody that Jesus loves them, that the church welcomes them, and that God sees them. So having said all that, I'm going to give you something. The ushers, they can start handing that out right now, but listen up. Don't open it. Come on, look at your neighbor. Tell them, don't open it. Don't open it. All right? Don't open it. Yeah, I'll get you if you open it. I will see you. I will find you. I don't even know what movie that was from. Probably not a good one. Don't watch it. I'll tell you when to open that in just a minute, all right? So we want to give you something. They're going to hand out like stacks of them. Just take one and pass them on and give the leftovers to the guy at the end there or the gal at the end, whoever it is. Hey, Riley or Kyle. Sorry, his name's Riley, but in church, it's Kyle. Ask him why, he'll tell you. Now, we wanted to give you this something because, you see, as I was planning for Big November and thinking about all the ways that you can bless the people in your lives and all the ways that you can bless the people in your street. She gets one. Give her one. Yep, she gets one. Yeah, and the way that you can bless all the people in your street, in your grocery stores, I felt God challenged me to go further. So we're going to give every single one of you some Big November cards. They're little square cards, and this week you'll get two of them, and we'll have 7,000 more for next week, so everybody can take a bunch of them, and that'll be fantastic. But we want you to give those cards away as you do good for all the people that you meet. You pay for a meal, leave a card. You buy McDonald's for someone in the drive-thru, you leave a card. Well, Pastor Jesse, I'm a Christian. I don't drink McDonald's. I don't eat burgers. Yeah, you do. Everybody says I don't eat junk food when then they sneak it. Uber Eats is killing my wife and I. We get McDonald's delivered to our house. We're like, hey, honey, you want a Big Mac and a Big Coke? Yep. Click. McDonald's is at the door. Anyway, I get distracted, all right? You don't drink McDonald's? Well, just go through the drive-thru, buy a Coke that you can tip out later on and pay for the car behind you and leave a Big November card. Yeah, yeah? At the grocery store, someone's card ain't working. Pay for it. Give them a card. A homeless guy, buy him lunch. Give him a card. Your neighbor, cook them a meal. Give them a card. Leave flowers. Give them a card. Some person who randomly caught your attention. Give them a card and some money. Whatever it is, just find ways to do good. Be a city on a hill. The card says, love your heaps, bignovember.com. Doesn't even say eternity on it. But when they go to bignovember.com, they're going to hear all about this church and what God's doing here. Amen? We bought that website for $12. And we're going to sell it for $1 million in 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I knew this, listen up, that God was speaking to me about more than just giving y'all a bunch of cards to give other people. Go further. Jesse, you say that you believe me, that this is going to be the most generous church. So be generous. And if we want you to invest your finances in tithing and offerings here at church and also in blessing other people, and we're going to take up a kingdom expansion offering at the end of this month, and that's going to be unreal just to fund Big November next year and what we do in India and what we do here in local schools and different things, and you'll hear more about that as well later on. It's super exciting. But if we want you to invest, we need to invest in you. So you can open up those envelopes right now. Each and every single one of you, open those up. This is just our way of investing in you, God telling us to put our money where our mouth is. And so each and every one of you's got $20 in that envelope right now. And I don't care how poor or how rich you are, I want you to take that. Don't say, oh, I don't need 20 bucks. Yes, you do. The reason that you need that 20 bucks is because God told us to give it to everybody, and you're one of the everybody's, right? You're one of them, and we don't want you to rob us of the blessing that God's going to give us by sowing into your life. So if you're like, I don't need it, hey, yeah, you do. Who wants God to bless your church? Good. Then let us bless you. Amen. Now, I want you to take that $20 and do one of two things with it. One of two things. And we have no opinion on which one you should do. You either receive it or you sow it. You can use it to cover a need in your life. If you come to church and you just needed that and you're like, man, that was an answer to my prayers, then keep it. Use it. God bless you. If you just needed to feel blessed and notice, keep it. God bless you. But if not, if you feel God leading you, use it to love somebody else, to sow a seed in their lives and show them that they are noticed. All you got to do is, as you bless people this week, either with that 20 bucks or with some other unique way that you come up with it, or with $1,000 if that's what you feel called to do, just leave them a big November card and let God do the rest. Why the heck would a church do something like this? If it's your first time at our church today, you've probably heard people say things like, churches just want your money. Well, welcome to Eternity Church. We love you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, we love you. Come on, we love Iowans. And we want to see God remind all people that He is good and that His church is good too. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled on. Hey, we ain't ever going to lose our saltiness. Amen. You are the light of the world. A town built up on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everybody in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Churches, you make the most of all the opportunities that God gives you to do good to all people, not just a group of people, but all people. They will glorify the Lord. Our community will glorify the Lord. That's why we want them to take note of what the church is doing. I believe the reason that God wants us to be kind is because Scripture says that the kindness of God leads to repentance. What that means is that the kindness of God leads to salvation. The kindness of God leads to transformed lives, transformed families, transformed communities. And our kindness and our good works will win the lost and bring hope to our streets and our homes and our cul-de-sacs and our apartment buildings and workplaces. Let them see your good works and they will glorify the Lord. I want to sing that song, hey, shine. Let shine before all men. See good works and then let them glorify the Lord. Who knows that song? It's like old school Newsboys from back when there was only two cool Christian bands, Newsboys and DC Talk, and now they're the same band. But that's all right, they've merged like 15 times. Come on, let them see our good works and glorify the Lord. Church, would you stand up with me as we begin to close this morning's service? I want to tell you that debating them won't work. Protesting them won't transform their lives. Suing them won't work. Attacking them on social media, now that might work. Right? But isn't it funny, on social media, we all think that we're the one person that everybody wants our opinion. So we write, I don't normally write stuff like this, but today I know that all y'all want to know what I think about this. So here it goes. Y'all are a bunch of jerks and losers and yada, yada, yada. And then everybody gave their life to Jesus. Great story. never happened that way. It's never happened that way. Let them see your good works. Model what you wish others would become. Show them that. Be a city up on a hill. Let them see your good works and then let them glorify the Lord. Amen. I've had enemies, or well, they were more like frenemies, change from frenemies to a blessing after I just kept doing good works. There was this one gal in school who the worst thing in her life was that Jesse Newman was a Christian. Like, what? She was on a mission to get me out of church, make sure that I start sleeping around and doing all these other things, and make sure that I would start getting stoned and drunk and messed up and all these other things. And hey, if you've been involved in that lifestyle, God bless you. I don't care what you've done. You're welcome here. I don't care what you're doing. You're still welcome here. But I do know that those things aren't particularly great for your life, right? And so she wanted me to get involved in all of that stuff, and she hated that I was a Christian. Her goal was to drag me out of the church. She was a frenemy. But me and my mates, we loved her anyway. And one day there was a great big youth event, 15,000 people at it. And we bought her a ticket to that event. We didn't use the free ones that the church was giving away. We felt that it was important for us to sow into her life. So we bought her the tickets and we told her, we bought these for you. And the bus trip was about $80. She went and she got saved. And sweet relief came into my life. It is the goodness. I could have told her she's a this, that, expletive, that, this, what, how. I could have yelled. I could have spread rumors. I could have said stuff, done stuff. But it was the kindness that led her to salvation. We never close a service here at Eternity Church without giving people the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ into their lives. And the reason for that is the single greatest thing you can do is become a follower of Jesus Christ. We're not asking people to change their lives. We're not asking you to stop sinning. We're not asking you to stop lying or cheating. If you are doing any of those things, I don't know, maybe you're not. But we're not asking you to change your behavior. We're not asking you to start talking like me or walking like me. You don't need to act like me or dress like me or anyone else in our church. We're not trying to make everybody the same. We just want everybody to worship the same God, right? And so we're not asking you to change. And the reason that we're not asking you to change, stop sinning or this, that, or the other is because we don't believe that it's our job to fix people. We believe that if there's something destructive in your life, that after you give him your life and as you begin this great journey, that he will speak to you about the things that need to change when he knows you're ready to make that change. That's his job. And he will help you and he will equip you and he will help transform your life. And believe me, you may not immediately become perfect, and I don't know anyone who is, but one day you'll be standing here and you'll be like, I'm not where I need to be yet, but thank God I'm so far from where I used to be. He's going to bless your life and he's going to give you the strength to live a new and blessed life. So if you want God to forgive your sins, take away your shame, heal you of your pain and brokenness, or if you just want God to fill that God-sized hole, that thing that's been missing in your life for your whole life, then I want you to pray this prayer with me one line at a time. Everyone in the room will pray it together so you're not alone. The reason we do this is because Scripture says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you'll be saved. That's it. That's why you don't have to make all those other changes. Just pray this prayer with us and believe it in your heart. Give your life to Jesus and let him set you up to live a blessed life that's forever getting better and better. Does that sound good? Awesome. So everybody, one line at a time, repeat after me right now. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin, and he rose again to give me life, joy, hope, peace, and everlasting life. Please forgive me the things that I've done wrong. You call them sin. And help me to be all that you designed me to be. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, I receive this new life. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.